A woman once came to a Rav in desperation. Rebbe, there's no shalom bayis in my home, and I know that I am at fault. I've mistreated my husband. I've made his life a misery. And she's crying to the Rav, please, please, all I want is that there should be shalom bayis in my home. Give me some advice. Tell me, what is it that I can do that I can restore peace and harmony in my home? And the Rav says, let me give you some advice. Tomorrow, before your husband comes home from work, I want you to scrub the house clean. Everything should be sparkling and look beautiful. Prepare a delicious and sumptuous meal. Prepare your husband's favorite foods. Go out and buy a beautiful present and wrap it up nicely and write a warm note. Wear your big day Shabbos. Do everything to create an atmosphere so that when he comes into the house, he will see how you're trying to find favor in his eyes and how you want to win him back and bring shalom and peace back into the home. So she goes home and she spends the whole day scrubbing and cleaning. She drags out all her old cookbooks when she was a kala and she prepares a delicious meal. She goes out and she buys a magnificent, expensive present and she wraps it in a beautiful wrapping and she writes a nice note. And she waits expectantly. She's anticipating her husband coming home and how wonderful it's going to be to have shalom bayis once again. Her husband walks into the house. He looks around the room. He looks at the table set with Shabbos finery, with the silver cutlery, and he looks at the beautiful present on the table, and he picks up the present and he throws it on the floor. He takes the plate of food and he throws it across the room, and he starts yelling at his wife, how dare you? What are you trying to do? You're trying to buy me with presents. His voice is dripping with hatred, with disgust, and he says to, don't you understand, it's you I'm sick of. I find you repulsive. I don't want to have any part of you. Leave me alone already. You've ruined my life. I don't want to know you anymore. Can we feel the poor woman's humiliation? Can we imagine her broken heart? And in agony and desperation, she runs back to the Rav and she's crying, tell me, help me. Listen what happened. He doesn't want to know me. It's me that he hates. There's nothing I can do to be pleasing to him. Tell me. What is it? Maybe you know. What is it that's bothering him? What is it that I can do to once again find favor in his eyes? Can we imagine such a pain? You know, in Tanakh, there are many, many terrifying passages. But one of the most difficult prokim in Tanakh, one of the most scathing and awful parashas that we have to listen to, that it's so hard for us to bear, is the Haftorah that we read in Shabbos Chazoin in the week before Tisha B'Av. We gather together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to us and he says, Shimu Dvar Hashem Kitzinei Sdoim Hazinu Toiras Elokeinu Am Amoiro. We gather together, we want to find favor, we want to restore shalom bayis between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And we decide, we prepare a magnificent korban, an expensive sacrifice to appease the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, to find favor in his eyes. But what does he say to us? He looks at our carbon and he says, Lo moli roiv zivcheichem yoimar Hashem. What do I need all your kabonos, all your sacrifices? Sovati oilois eilim v'cheilev miriyim. I've had enough, I'm fed up of all your kabonos. Dam porum ukvosim v'atudim loichofotzdi, I'm not interested. Klal Yisrael will gather together. Families, beautiful, pure families, to go up to be Oyler Regel, to make the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim. And they'll prepare, and they'll organize caravans, they'll get their little children, kol misha yochol lalis beraglov, as the Mishnah tells us, anyone who can walk on his feet, join together to go up to Yerushalayim. with such simcha, with such joy, the singing and dancing all the way, the Tali Beinul of the Chabi Emes. And we come up to Yerushalayim, and the Rabbi Nishalayim says to us, Kisavo Yulei Rois Ponai, you'll come to see my face. Mi Bikesh Zois Mietchem Remois Chatzeiroi, who asked you to come and sully my courtyard. Loisoi Sifu Havi Minchas Shov, don't bring me any more of your empty meal offerings. Kitoires toyevo hili, your incense is an abomination to me. We'll prepare beautiful yamim toivim, shabosois. We'll go out and purchase a lulav and an esrig. We'll build a beautiful sukkah. We'll be mahadah to get the most mehudadik and wonderful matzahs. And we'll prepare a magnificent seder table together in order to bring Shalom Bayis. And what does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam say? Chodsheichem u'moyadeichem sono nafshi. Your yomim toivim, I despise them. Oh, you olai lo toirach, they're only a burden to me. Nilesi nisoi, I cannot bear to carry them. I'm weary of carrying you. U'foriskem kapeichem, you'll stretch out your arms to me in tefillah, you'll pray to me, Alim einai mikem, I will turn my eyes away from you. Gam kisarbu tefillah einani shoymeya, you will daven excessively to me, but I will not hear yedeichem domim oleyu. How can we bear such words? How are we supposed to react when we're told, go away, I don't want you, I'm not interested in you? So we run back crying and we say, so tell us, what is it? What is it that you want from us? What can we do so that once again we should live in peace and harmony together? And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells us, Rachach Suhizaku, cleanse yourself, purify yourselves. Hosiru Royam Alaleichem, Chidlu Horeya, cease to do ra. Limdu heitev, teach yourselves goodness. Change yourselves. I don't want presents. I don't want bribes. I don't want lip service. I want real change. I want to see a different person. So what is it that he wants? We need to know. What's bothering him? Why is it that we're so desperate? Why can't we seem to find favor in his eyes? Chazal tell us there are Gimel Averis Chamurois, three cardinal sins, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah, immorality, murder, and idolatry. The Loshon Hara Magdil Avoinois Kineged Kulam, Chazal say, and the Chet of Loshon Hara is magnified, it's greater than all of the three Gimel Averes Chamurois. And the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, the Arizal, the Chidah, many of the great Tzaddikim explained that just like there are Gimel Averes Chamurois and one Avera of Lashon Hara that's Magdil Avoinois Kineged Kulon, so too we find there are Dalit Goliois, there are four exiles. The first three were Golus Bovel, Golus Modai, and Golus Yavon. And the fourth Golus, the Golus that we are in now, is Golus Edoim. And the first three exiles correspond to the Gimel Averes Chamurois. But Golus Edoim, the worst, the most torturous of all of the Golios, the one that's so long and so bitter and combines all the elements of the previous exiles, that Golus, our Golus, is Keneged, the Chet of Lashon Hara. And until we rectify the Chet of Lashon Hara, we are going to cause Arichas HaGolus. The Maral in Sefer Nesivos Olam writes, Kol Arichas HaGolus, all of the lengthiness of the exile, Ein roi lihitolois elo b'chet hazeh shel Lashon Hara. We can only blame it on this sin, the sin of Lashon Hara. Rabbi Fol me Hamburg, the great Goyin and Tzaddik, wrote in a drosha, Miyoyim b'roi odam al oretz, from the day that human being was created until this day, all that has befallen us, Chatas haloshoin hoyo bo ichreinu, All of our tzaras, the cause was Lashon Hara. It is at the front, pre-kol chatos. Mimenu yavoyu, mimenu yashuvun, kol hatlois asher shavru es ami. From this chet comes and goes all of the trials and tribulations, all of the tragedies that have broken our nation. So we are told, tzaddikim told us, Chazal told us, what it is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants from us, why he's so angry. But it's difficult to understand. Why is it so important? Lashon Hara, to many of us it may seem so trivial. Lashon Hara may not be a very refined way to act, to be a gossip, to speak slanderously, but this should be the cause of the galus. How do we understand that Reb Chaim Berlin wrote a letter to Reb Leo Mishkovsky, and it's reprinted in the Akdama to the Sefer Koich V'Yor, and it's dated Yud Aleph of 2 days after Tisha B'Av, where he describes the Levaya of Reb Itzel Petterberger, where there was a whole question of whether to give a hesped, and he writes that he gave a hesped, and on Erev Shabbos night, Leil Shabbos, Reb Itzel came to me in a dream, and he described the Oinshim, the Dinim Shamayim, how the Din and Shamayim is Emes, is truth, it's perfect truth. And he said, Makpidim bi Yoyse, they are exceedingly stringent on the Chatoi Haloshoin, sins of the mouth. Chet Haloshoin, Noiro Me'oid. What is it? Why is it so chomer? What makes it such an integral part of the Arichas HaGolus? First, we have to examine the power of speech. To anybody who observes the world, it's immediately obvious that we are the only ones, human beings are the only ones who have the ability to express ourselves. We are a medaber. A parrot is not a medaber. He can say words, but he cannot express any thoughts. No one shares this capacity with us. Now, when did it happen? When did we become medabrim? When did we get the ability to speak? When did we acquire this faculty that's uniquely human? The Pasuk tells us, Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim v'yodom lenefesh chayo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a living soul into Adam and he became a nefesh chayo. The Targum translates lenefesh chayo leruach memalalo, a speaking spirit. At the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reached into the world within worlds, each one the root and the soul of the world before it, and he went deeper and deeper into the Kedushas HaOlamos until he reached the Kisei HaKavod, and from there he extracted the Neshama. There he took out the soul and he blew it into us. At that moment, Vatiyod L'Nefesh Chaya, the person became a speaking spirit. At the moment that the Chelek Elokim Imal was infused into us, the moment the Neshama entered our being, together with that we got the power of speech. As the Maral explains, that when Guf and Neshama, when body and spirit combine, the Neshama has to manifest itself. And it comes out through the Koyach HaDibur, the Elokus, the godliness that's within us, that's expressed in Dibur. That is the Koyach HaYitzira. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the only creator, the only Yoitzer, and he created the world, Basora Ma'amorois Nivra Olam. He created it with Koyach HaDibu, with 10 utterances. And when we became speech beings, we share, as the Nefesh HaChaim writes, we too become Yoitzrim, and we too are enabled to create worlds, or Cholila, to destroy worlds. It's the Chelek Eleka Mimal that's within us. That is the Koyach HaDibur. And that is what sets us above all of creation. So if we abuse this Koyach, if we misuse this ability, we've debased our very humanity. It's a perversion of our very essence. Ein Koychon Shel Yisrael Elo Bepeh. The power of Yisrael is only with Dibur, is only with Peh. All of us need so many things. All of us need Siyata Deshmaya, some with Parnasa. Others need Refuas, Debersol Helfen. Others need Shiduchim, Nachas. And Ein Koichen Shal Yisrael Ela B'Peh. It's in our power to daven and to be Mo'ir Rachmei Shomayim. An animal cannot daven. One who doesn't have the Chush HaDibur cannot evoke divine assistance to help him with his needs. And yet the Chofetz Chaim says that he asked the question, so why are we daven so hard for things that we need so desperately, and yet we're not answered? And the Chofetz Chaim answers, because we have to daven with the Klei HaDibur, with our mouths. And if we poison our mouths with Lashon Hara, if we misuse our Klei HaDibur and they become faulty, our tefillos are not heard. Imagine if there's a family that possesses a priceless piece of jewelry, a family heirloom, and there's a swindler who wants to get hold of it, but they would never sell it. It's worth millions of dollars. And he waits for one day when the parents are away, and there's a little boy at home, and he comes knocking on the door, and he starts a conversation with the child, and he says, hey, look at that old ring and that old box there. You know what? I give you $100 for it. And the boy's eyes light up, $100 for that old thing. And he takes it, and he's so excited. And his mother comes up and says, look what I got. I got $100. She says, where did you get it from? That piece of junk that was sitting there, I gave that away, and I got $100 for it. And the mother, what? That was our family heirloom. That was priceless. You gave it away. You were swindled. The Satan comes to us, and he tries to swindle us out of our most priceless possession. Our Elokus, our Koyach HaDibur, he tells us it's no big deal. We could own the world with this Koyach. Shoymer Pivu L'Shoynoi, Shoymer Mitzorois Navshoi. It would protect us from everything. And what do? We sell it. For what? Ma Yisroi L'Bal HaLosh, as the Pasuk says. There's no gain, not even a penny, nothing. And we give away our Chush HaDibur, our Elikus. We lose the Chush HaDibur through Lashon Hara. We lose our humanity. We lose our Koyach HaTfilah. How does that happen? Why is Lashon Hara such an abuse of the Koyach HaDibur? If we would analyze the mechanics of a piece of Lashon Hara, we would find something very revealing. Many years ago, as a child, I was on a bus on my way to yeshiva. There was a group of boys sitting on the bus, and one of the boys was ridiculing a certain respected balabas in the community, and he was a riot. He was imitating him. He was telling everyone how stupid the man was, how ugly he was, how foul he smelled, and how nobody likes him, although he thinks everybody likes him. And we were all laughing uproariously at this man's expense, and we were having a great time. Suddenly, one boy a few seats ahead of us gets up and turns around to us, and there's tears streaming down his face, and he says, I want you to know the man you're talking about is my father. And he ran off the bus crying. We can't even begin to imagine his pain, his anguish. How many times through the years he must have relived this scene in his imagination and again felt the stabbing pain. But how did we feel? Our disgrace, our sense of shame, we were so disgusted with ourselves. We were caught doing something dirty. We felt ashamed to be alive. Now imagine if the boy who had spoken, who had so defamed this first boy's father, had ran off the bus, chased down the other boy, says, please, I want to talk to you for 1 minute. And he would say, no, leave me alone. Don't apologize. I don't want to know you. I saw what you are. I know what you are. I'm not interested in what you are. He says, no, I just want to talk to you for 1 moment. He says, what is it? He would say, I just need a very big favor from you. Would you maybe do a great favor for me? Surely he would gag in disgust. After what you've done to me, you want me to do you a favor? Let us think for a moment. When we talk Lashon Hara, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's the father of the person we're talking about, who loves that child with a love that's greater than any love we can even begin to imagine, is listening us to how listening how we are maligning and defaming his precious child, and no one's defending him, no one's seeing the good in him. We could imagine the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's anguish, kaviyochel, the tears streaming down in pain for his child. And then we want to go, stand Shmoyne Esser, Rabbeinu Shel Olam refoeinu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, send me panosa, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, look after me. Is it any wonder that the Pasuk says, Ufarizchem kapeichem alim einai mikem? That the Chofetz Chaim, when he describes how a person loses koyach atfili, he says, the medaber loshen hara, his loshen is nis of me'oid ve'enei Hashem. He's an abomination in the eyes of Hashem. Ve'enei shemea tfilosoi. Is it any wonder he doesn't want to share a home with us? He doesn't want to share a Beis HaMikdash with us? It's a painful episode, but it's very revealing. If we would just think for a moment, here we were a group of boys, and what we were doing with great joy, with a lot of confidence, and plenty of arrogance too. And we were having a great time doing it. But only because we weren't aware there was somebody listening. The moment we realized somebody was listening, we became so despicable. And the act that we did became so repulsive. And we never would have done it. Here we are acting out joyfully something that if the conditions would be just one bit different, the person would be here, we would never stoop so low. And therein lies the ugliness of Lashon Hara. It's treachery. It's a betrayal. If we're in the office standing around the water cooler, talking about a co-worker or perhaps about the boss, laughing at him, pointing out his failings, and then he walks by and we give a big smile and a big Shalom Aleichem and a big pat on the back. We're being treacherous. In every society, treason is a capital crime. A traitor hangs. Treason is in a league of its own. It's considered more heinous than murder. Why is it? Why is it that everyone agrees that a traitor has to hang? The difference is that a traitor, we don't punish him just for the moment that he handed over the secrets to the enemy. It's everything that he did. He's living together with us. He's acting as if he was our friend. He didn't just commit a crime. He is a crime. He doesn't hang for what he did. He hangs for what he is. He is a traitor. He's a living lie. And when we were so embarrassed, we weren't embarrassed over what we did. We were embarrassed because we were exposed as being treacherous. But Lashon Hara is a betrayal on many levels. It's a betrayal of our friends, Bein Adam LeChaveroi. It's a betrayal of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam Hashem who gave us the wondrous gift of speech, and we use that gift to aggrieve His beloved children. And it's a betrayal to Klal Yisrael. Because the Chofetz Chaim writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot see bad, Ein Roya Ovel B'Yisrael. He doesn't see chet. Only through the power of the Satan, who's the Mekatreg, when the accuser comes and he brings before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam the averes and the sins of Klal Yisrael, that sets the process of Einish and punishment, that sets the gears going. And the Satan cannot begin to speak until he is empowered by the energy of Lashon Hara. And the Chofetz Chaim brings the Lashon HaMedrash. Mikol tzoreis habois aleichem ani yochel atzilchem. I can save you from all your tzoreis. Bitnai, as long as the Satan doesn't stand up to accuse you. Ubaloshin hora hu anoisen loikoyach lekatreg. Those who speak Lashon Hara with impunity, they are the ones who energize the Satan and give him the information to bring before the Kisei HaKavod and bring the Midas Hadin. As the Chofetz Chaim writes, Lashon Hara awakens the great Mekatreg, and this causes Miso, Vehereg, Vavadon, Vecherev, all sorts of terrible punishment. Kama b'nei Adam yordu minichseim al yodei. How many people lost their panosus through this? The kama mesu al yodei. How many died through this aveira? Ubevadoi lo yinuke. And the person who's guilty of causing this will not be spared his oinish. And Rav Tzadik HaKohen writes that every malach, every angel, revealed his secret, his soid to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the malach HaMobes, the angel of death, came to Moshe and he said, my soid is Lashon Hara. So it's a betrayal of our nation. And most of all, it's a betrayal of ourselves. Do we really want to be this way? We're not traitors. We're essentially repulsed by treachery. That's not our nature. Yet the Satan tricks us to undermine our own value systems, that we do things that we ourselves find reprehensible, we don't even realize. And we betray ourselves in a very damaging way too. And it's frightening to think about it. What is Lashon Hara? Dibur, the Svarim say, is the kulmis halev, the pen of the heart. There's good parts of our heart, and there's bad parts. Lev v'lev yidaberu. What does the word Lashon Hara mean? What's the hey? Lashon Hara. Lashon Ra. The hey with the comets in this instance is possessive. Like we say, Rishus Horabim, the domain that belongs to the Rabbim. So too, there's Loshon, there's language, Hora. There's a language of the French, there's the language of the English, and there's the language of the Tzad Hora. How does Ra speak? The Ra that's within us. Our bad midas, our Averis, our Pagomim. All of that Lev also wants to speak. And that comes out, that manifests itself through Loshon Hora. And every time we speak Lashon Hara, we're revealing that. Instead of hiding that awful odor that's hidden inside, we reveal ourselves. Oh, so you speak French too. You also know how to speak that language. And that's why when somebody talks Lashon Hara, it's immediate that he goes down so much in the eyes of the listener. We all experienced it. When someone tells us a piece of Lashon Hara, automatically we lose respect for that person because we've witnessed his Midas Rois. That's why Shabina Rav once said that he had no nisoyin in speaking Lashon Hara because his father once told him, "V'meretov yenem, meretov zich." When you're talking about somebody else, you're talking more about yourself than anything else. What is talking? It's the Chelek Hara, as the Baal Shem wrote, that every Aveira that a person does ultimately has to come out on the Peh. So we're actually, really, truly betraying ourselves. We're giving out the part of ourselves, we're exposing the part of ourselves that would rather remain hidden. And we give away our most precious koiches. Rav Emanuel Feldman of Atlanta, Georgia, relates a story how he once had to visit one of his congregants, a woman who was in the hospital, who had to have an operation. She had a terrible disease, and they had to operate on her to remove her larynx, her voice box, and she would never be able to speak again. And he went to visit her in her hospital room, and she was surrounded by her family and children. And she was trying to be upbeat, and everybody was speaking words of chizuk, and then they all left, and he was left with her alone, and she burst out into tears. She says, "Rabbi, I'm speaking to you, these are the last words I'm ever going to speak in my life. I cannot bear it. I'd rather not live. What kind of life will this be if I'll never be able to speak? And he says, I tried to be mechazek her. I tried to talk to her, to daven. And then I said, let's say together Shema Yisrael. Said, he had taught her Lashon Kodesh. He was the one who taught her how to read Lashon Kodesh. He said, the first tefillah she ever uttered in Lashon Kodesh was Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And now these were to be the last words she would ever say on this world. And she said Shema. And he says, and I went outside to my car and I burst into tears and I couldn't stop weeping. Could you imagine? Somebody knows this is the last words he'll ever utter. And the Chofetz Chaim writes that when somebody speaks Lashon Hara, he comes to the Olam HaNitzchi and his Klei HaDibur, his speech is denied him. He cannot speak L'Netzach Nitzochim. And all there is to do in Olam HaNitzchi is to speak, to learn Torah, to sing Shir V'Shbachas to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And a person takes those Klei HaDibur and destroys them. Who would want to do that to themselves? How the Satan fools us. He turns us into self-destroyers. Shoimer piv uleshoinoi shoimer mitzorois nafshoi. This is the Eitzah. If a person controls his speech, he saves his soul from distress and from all tzoras. And it's not that difficult. People all over the world are doing it. And they're doing it successfully and joyfully. And they're seeing wondrous results. Lives have changed. Families have been uplifted. This week, someone called to the offices of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. A couple who didn't have children for years undertook to follow the Luach of Shmiras HaLoshen Yoimi that was established by the Manchester Yeshiva Rav Segal Zatzal. And after 1 week of learning Shmiras HaLoshen, there was good news. And the baby was born 7 weeks early, which is unusual. And then they realized that it was born on the Manchester Yeshiva's yard site. Koyach of Shmiras HaLoshon. We may think it's difficult, but that's the Satan distorting the truth. But the Medrash writes, if one wants to be zoichet to Olam Habo, bizul, cheaply, not to pay the heavy price. Nitzor l'shoinoi meira. Because he's shoyme mitzores nafshoi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maftiach, the Medrash says, that yamoid Hashem liyaminoi, Hashem will stand at his right side, lahatziloi mikol tzores, to save him from all tzores. All it takes is a little bit of awareness, to think. And on a day like Tisha B'Av, to think deeply. And maybe suggest two things. If we look in the Svarim, we know there's Lashon Hara, and then there's what's called a Baal Lashon Hara, Rachmono Litzlon. Somebody who has a mouth that's Hefker, who speaks Lashon Hara brazenly, without any thought of the consequences. And a Baal Lashon Hara, if you look in the Svarim, is Ein Roye Pnei Hashchina. He's in very serious trouble. Many of us who are careful about how we speak, but sometimes there's someone in our lives who for some reason we feel there's immunity when we speak Lashon Hara about that person. And towards that person we become a Baal Lashon Hara. It could be a boss, it could be a co-worker, could be an in-law, could be a competitor in business who's eating your heart out for years and every day, look what he did, look what he did, you don't stop talking about him. Or it could be somebody who's very successful and very wealthy, and the kin and the jealousy eats up at us, and we're always speculating about how he perhaps earned his money dishonestly, or talking about it. and that way to validate our own kinna, or someone who may have caused us a lot of pain, and we have that feeling, that need for revenge, for nekama, and every time we speak with such poison. If today, if right now, anyone who knows of such a person in his life would concentrate on the image of that person, and concentrate intensely, and think of that image, because that image may chas v'shalom be the image that is going to stand in the way in the doors of Gan Eden and not let us in, because he's going to say, you were a Baal Lashon Hara. And then he'll really have dealt us the fatal blow, the fatal and final blow. Let us today accept upon ourselves that if there is such a person in our lives, we will not speak about him at all. Bein toif, bein ra. I am going to drop the subject no matter how difficult it is. But here it's not going to say it. Here it's not easy. There may be somebody you've been trying to prove for so long how awful he is, and now you've really got the goods. You heard what happened about him, and you're burning. We're burning inside to give it out, to prove our point. Don't know where we're going to go. How am I going to control myself from repeating this? And you say, a person said, you know what? Okay, I'll push it off for 2 hours. But I know in 2 hours I'm going to have to say it. And that way you can bear it. And I hope maybe in the 2 hours I'll be lucky enough that someone else will go and say it. And the news will get out. And I won't have to be over on Lashon Hara. Let us decide that we are going to take that and swallow it forever. For eternity. And the midah keneged midah will be that will be zoiche to koyach hadibur for eternity. Imagine for a moment that woman who was being operated to remove her klei hadibur. Imagine how desperate and how brokenhearted she was, knowing she'll never speak again. Imagine if the doctor would have come over to her just before the operation and said, listen, there's one way we can save your speech. If you undertake never again for the rest of your life to speak a word of Lashon Hara, we'll be able to save your klei hadibur, and you'll be able to speak. Imagine how she would jump at the opportunity. And not just jump at the opportunity, but imagine how joyfully she would be mekayemet, how every time she had the opportunity to speak Lashon Hara for the rest of her life, and she would control it, she would, the inner glow, the wondrous feeling, the ecstasy of, look what I'm doing. It would bring her such simcha. We can do the same. It can be a pleasure. Ma Yisroin Lebal Aloshoin means there's no gain. People who have taken this out of their lives don't feel they're missing anything. They feel they've been revived. They feel wonderful. They feel marvelous because they're not hiding anything. All it takes is an awareness and a little bit of self-examination. I'm told that as we speak these words, tens of thousands of people in over 200 communities worldwide are listening in. Imagine for a moment, Rabbi Yisai, the Gedolei Ador issued a call for limud, for the learning of Sifrei Chofetz Chaim. And years ago, the Heilige Manchester Yeshiva instituted, he established a luach where one can learn 2 halachas a day, and thousands of people across the globe are doing it and being mekayim it. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, the only way to be a shomer pivul l'shoinoi is through learning the halachas, because we're naturally more inclined to keep a halacha that we've learned about. That's the nature of man. Imagine if today on Tisha B'Av, if at this moment 30,000 Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov were at this moment to turn to the Rabbi Yisrael and say, Tate Zisa in Himmel, On the day that you took everything away from us, on the day you took our Beis HaMikdash, you took our pride, our glory, our land, we are going to give you something so special. We are going to give you such a present from your children. All of us together will accept upon ourselves, Beli Neder, to learn the Shtei Halachos, the Shmiras Halosh and Yoimi. Imagine if every one of us were to accept upon himself Beli Neder to go out and convince three more people to join along in the Limud Yoimi. Imagine if every Daf Yoimi Shir would add on 5 minutes a day. That's about all it takes to learn Shmiras Haloshin Yoimi. Could you imagine the storm that we'd create in Shamayim right now with such a Kabbalah? How the Malachim will be singing and dancing, they'd be running to the Heichel Mashiach and wake him up. It's time, look! Surely we'd create such a Yisoirus in Shamayim. And we'd reawaken the Kirvas Elohim, the Shalom Bayis that we so desperately need. And on a day like Tisha B'Av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is especially close to us. Because although the Navi told us, Lama li roiv zivcheichem yoimer Hashem, that was before the Churban. The Pasuk tells us by the Cheto Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu turned to the Rebbei Yerushalayim and he says, Anochot o'am azech atog yidoylo. They've sinned a great sin. And the Mepharshim asked, if the Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would he say we sinned a great sin? You try to make it smaller. And one of the tzaddikim once said, a marshal said, imagine there's a child running around on the roof of a building. And his father comes up and he sees him and he says, get down from there, I'm warning, I don't want to see you up there, it's dangerous. And the father comes back a few minutes later and he sees him up there again. So he goes and he gives him a patch, I warned you not to run around over here, it's dangerous. He goes back downstairs and suddenly a bunch of children run in and they tell him, your son fell off the roof, he's on the ground, he's bleeding, he's broken. And the father runs out, his son was lying there on the floor and all the kids are thinking, wow, now he's really going to get it. If for just running around on the roof he got smacked, who knows what he's going to get now for falling down. And the father runs over and he lifts up the son, he hugs him and he kisses him, he tries to revive him, he says, what can I do for you? Please help me, call the doctors, anything I could do for my beloved son. And if the children will ask, what do you mean? Why isn't he getting punished? It's punished is when he's up there, but when he's fallen down and he's broken, I am the father who's going to give him my love. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, now is not a time for patch. Ono, chot o'am azech atog gidoylo. They've sinned a great sin. They've fallen. Something terrible has happened. They've worshipped an egel. Ribbono Shel Olam, now you have to be a father. Now you have to come to them and hold them and lift them up. And so the same Ribbono Shel Olam who said to us, Mi bikesh zois miyetchem ramois chatzeroi. But on the day of the Churban, we look in the Medrash. At the time of the Churban, the Ribbono Shel Olam was crying and he said, Oili me'osisi, what have I done? Hishreisi shchinosi lemato b'shvil Yisrael. I've rested my shchino on the earth because of Yisrael. V'yachshav shechotu chozati l'mekoy mi'orishoin. The Malach, the angel Matatrin, fell before the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, ani efka'al cry, v'ata lo sivke. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, if you do not let me cry, I'll go into a place, shein l'chor reshus likonei sham, and I'll cry there. As it says in the Pasuk, b'mistorim tivke navshi. Omel en HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, l'malachi ha'shoreis, bohu v'neilech, let us go, ani v'atem, v'nireh b'beisi me'al.
Let us see what the enemy has done in my house. Miyad holach HaKadosh Baruch Hu malachei asharez v'yirmiyah lefonov. The Rabbi Nishtolem went. He was together with the malachei asharez with Yirmiyah Novi. V'kiven shero HaKadosh Baruch Hu has beis HaMikdosh when he saw the beis HaMikdosh in flames. Omar bevadai zehu beisi v'zehu menuchasi. This is my house. This is my resting place. Shebo oivim vasu boi kirtzoinam. Boi susha hay HaKadosh Baruch Hu boy heavy. I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying and he said, Oy li al beisi. Bonai hey chanatem, my children, where are you? Koyhanai hey chanatem, my koyhanim, where are you? Oy havai, my beloved ones, where are you? Mo esalochem, what can I do for you? Hisrei sibochem, I warned you so many times, oloi chazaltem b'tshuvo. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, L'Yirmiyah, Ani doy mahayoyim, I can be compared today. Lo adam shoyoloi ben yechidi, one who had an only child. V'osa loy chupa, umeiz betoy chupasoy. Hoy v'yein l'cha keiv, loy olay v'lohi al bonay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is betzarosam loy tzor. On this day, when we're sitting by Velos on the floor, he's crying for us. He's pouring out his love to us. Bonay, hey. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close to us, let us reach out to him. Let us extend ourselves to him and say, now is the moment when we can have shalom bayis. Now is the moment we can find favor in his eyes once again. And if we were to reach out with true ahava to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And how do we show true ahava to the Ribbono Shel Olam? By showing true ahava to each and every single one of his children of our beautiful, wonderful family of Klal Yisrael. Surely, surely this could be the last Tisha B'Av. This will bring Mashiach. The Eibushter Zol Helfu, we should be Zoich HaKadosh Baruch, we should be Royal Leleva, we should see our broken hearts. He would see how we want to change. He would see how we don't want to be the type of person that the Baal Lashon Hara is, how we really want to be together with him and with all of his children. And then we will be Zoich to be as Goyel Tzedek, B'mheira B'yameinu Amen.